got at least 10 things in it, right? It's got at least the 10 commandments, so that's a lot right there. So we have our 10 commandments, and in the Hebrew scriptures, as I mentioned earlier, they're called the 10 words. And how many know how strong and how powerful words can be? Right? Words have power. Now, the average person, it's said, speaks 10 to 20,000 words a day. It doesn't say male or female. It just says all of us. 10 to 20,000 words a day. And I would say that with the, you know, in modern day with Facebook and with Instagram, you know, the fact that we can now speak without even opening our mouth, we're actually saying much more than 10 to 20,000 words a day. Technology enables people to speak over greater, longer distances to bigger audiences that they've ever been able to speak to before. And a lot of times without even saying a word out of their mouth. They're posting pictures, they're posting memes, which for the longest time I thought were memes. But they're reposting things. You know, with Facebook and all, they're saying a lot without even saying anything. Some of it's not even their own words that they're saying. They're just reposting. But who knows, and I'm sure we all do, that we are accountable for every word we speak. Let's go to our first verse today, Proverbs 10:19. When words abound, transgression is unavoidable, but whoever restrains his lips is wise. When words abound, you know, can you imagine back then, around the time that the commandments were given, they were speaking 10 to 20,000 words. Now, today, it seems like so much more. But where words abound, transgression is unavoidable. And this is true for even those who try to guard their mouth. Something slips out eventually. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone takes offense. And I would say more to the point of how we use our words, because the words themselves, most of the time, it's not the words that are sinful. It's the heart that the words come out of. The words are just symptomatic of what the real problem is. We see in the Haftorah portion, early on in the book of Isaiah, that when Adonai called upon Isaiah, Isaiah says that he's a man of unclean lips. And he lives among people of unclean lips. He was worried about their language and about their words that they were using. It's then that Adonai cleanses Isaiah's lips. So let's take a quick look at that in Isaiah 6:6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins atoned for." Isaiah knew the importance of the words. The Lord touched his lips and removed the iniquity, because it was the lips where the words were coming out of, but it was the heart where these words originated from. Now, of course, when Torah was written, there was nothing like the internet. The internet allows people just a voice out into the world now. For most people, even before the 70s, and going all the way back to Moses, of course, you know, maybe their sphere of influence was their family and a few people who lived around them, and that was it. Today, there's people with a sphere of influence that they don't even recognize because they post something and it's shared and that's shared and that's shared. We hear about things that go viral, and sometimes we don't even realize our own things are going viral or we're getting caught up into it. So, but each one of those things that we share, each one of those things that we post, they have some power behind them. They're words that are being spoken. So, of course, the crazy question is, I didn't speak them. I wasn't talking. That means they must have, you know, no attachment to me, no power from me. No, that's not true. That's just not true. Do we get a pass because we wrote them instead of saying them? No, no. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love conquers all transgression. Keep verse 12 in mind. Hatred stirs up strife, but love conquers all transgression. The things that we write, the things we repost, it doesn't matter if you were the originator, the things you repost are the things that are in you. And there are so many warnings in Scripture about it. Just over and over again, we're warned about our words, warned about our attitudes. Matthew warns us to make efforts not to allow words to go freely from our lips. So let's take a look at Matthew 12:34b, starting in the middle of 34. For from the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from the good treasury brings forth good, and the evil man from his evil treasury brings forth evil. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, men will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The word careless in the Greek is argos, and it means lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. So we're told that we are not to be lazy about allowing words to pass our lips. We need to work to ensure that it's the right words that are passing our lips. Not just allow any old words, but the ones that are edifying, the right words will pass through our lips. We need to put that effort forth. It's when we're tired and we're lazy and, oh, look at that. That's cute. We just pass over it and put it out there. You know, that joke that we tell without even thinking about it just before service. Maybe if I thought about it a little more, I wouldn't have told that joke. That's just lazy. You need to think about what you're saying before they pass your lips. Ephesians 4:29. Let no harmful word come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for building up others according to the need, so that it gives grace to those who hear it. Do not grieve the Ruach HaKodesh of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Ruach HaKodesh by just allowing words to gush forth. But instead, make sure they're edifying words. The word for harmful there is sapros, which is defined as rotten, putrefied, or of poor quality, bad, unfit for use, worthless. Again, examine the words before you use them. Isn't that what we would do with food before putting it into our mouth? We would look at it and say, is it worthy of going into my mouth? Well, we should do the same thing with the words coming out of the mouth. Are they worthy of coming out of my mouth before they're allowed to come out? I know people say, you know, I was only kidding. You know, it was only a joke I posted. You know, I thought it was humorous, so I put it up there. You know, that's just a rationale. It's just trying to rationalize, explain it away. But it's still perpetuating a thought that maybe shouldn't be coming out of a believer's mouth or fingers in certain cases. Ephesians 5:4, obscene, coarse, and stupid talk are also not of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Again, power in the words that come from our tongue and our mouth. They're more than just sounds that are translated in our mind as communication. They're power. Even the song that we sung today, you know, we speak your name because there's power in your name. Because it's a word that means something. Every word we speak means something. Good or bad, it means something. Proverbs 18:20. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest of his lips, he is satisfied. Death and life are in the control of the tongue. Those who indulge in it will eat its fruit. Words are the thing we digest and we live by. Words are life and death. They create and they destroy. They build up and they knock down. There is great power in words. Adonai used words to create in Genesis 1:1. That's all he needed to create everything with words. 10 times we're told that God said in the first chapter of Scripture, those two little words, God said. 10 times in the very first chapter, emphasizing the importance of words. God said. The first 8 times he used this was to create. The next time was to bless. And the 10th time was to instruct. Adonai uses his words very carefully to build up and create. Are we the one to destroy what he's created with our words? Are we the one to destroy and knock down and tear apart what he's created? Every person in the world, he's created. We may not agree with them, but it doesn't mean we should tear them down and knock them down and hurt them. That's not what God said to do. In fact, there is one who was called to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy. There was one. John tells us how to handle him, and that is, of course, Satan. John 10:8 and then 10:10. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not listen to them. So first of all, let me pause there. Who's he talking about? All those who came were thieves and robbers. He was talking about Satan and his demonic minion. Those who work for Satan. Those are the thieves. Those are the robbers. The thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. The thieves rob. The thieves and robbers, of course, are Satan and demonic forces. What did they use in order to try to steal them and kill them? Words. That's all they can use. Satan doesn't have hands and feet to do actual physical things to you, believe it or not. He can only use words to get other people's influence to work against you. He can only use words so that you'll eat poorly or you'll do something to harm yourself. He doesn't have it, the ability to actually touch you. You know, I didn't think of it before, but even in the story of Job, what did he do? He spoke to the sun so the sun would beat down. He spoke to the wind so the wind would blow. He didn't have, you know, he didn't have all the ability to touch Job. He may have made him ill by outside forces being upon him, but he didn't actually touch his body. So, getting back to John, all who came before me are thieves. The sheep did not listen to them. They didn't listen. They didn't repeat what was said. I bet I know what those sheep said. And I bet we can find it in Romans. Romans 1:16. I bet these are the words that they spoke. For I am not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who trusts. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the righteousness of God is revealed. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from trust to trust, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the words of the good news. Those are worthy of being spoken out loud. The good news that was written about him and is still spoke about today. We speak these words. We speak them for life. We speak them to have people grow. We speak it to bless them even before they know who Adonai is. And when we speak them, even if they're not accepted immediately, they still have power. Because what? We speak of words that we sow out just like seed. And then it gets planted somewhere. And then it takes root. And then it grows. So the words you're speaking go out. And maybe they're not accepted right away, but they fall on soil. Maybe harder soil at first, but you ever see a rock that was split by a tree? That, my friends, is the heart of some of my family. They're going to be split and softened by the seed that is sown. The words will take root. The good words will take root. Unfortunately, the bad words will take root as well. That's why we need to be careful. The words we speak, whether spoken words, printed words, picture words, they all have power. They all will represent us as individuals or as groups. Or as a group. The words that come from our mouth and by our hands at the keyboard have the power to move and direct people. Our tongue and the words have such great power. James tells us in 3:3, if we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole body as well. See also the ships. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Little things. A horse is huge. This little thing just fits in its mouth. And wherever its mouth takes it, That's where the horse goes. A big ship controlled by a little rudder. Just turn it, and the whole big ship turns. Someone's life, say a word, and you could be turning their life for either good or bad. Whether you know them or not, whether you intended it or not. These are the power of our words. The problem is, of course, sometimes our words are that we speak go to places we don't intend them at all. So it's important to retain the control of our words, because we don't really control what the words do. All we control is whether we expose them to the light and speak them out. Once you speak them, you have no control over what they do, who they do them to. We speak words sometimes without even knowing the effects that they're going to have. You know, I know all of us here, and we want our words to be right. I know none of us want to be mean. None of us want to be cruel. None of us want to tear down. That's our heart, right? Psalm 119:11. I have treasured your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. That's the heart of who we are. We don't want to sin against God. We don't want to hurt other people. That's why we treasure his word in our heart. Here's the problem. Our prayer is that the words be good in our hearts. And we may know, and we may say, we know what those words mean. I know what I meant when I said it. And it wasn't what you think I meant. But you didn't have power over the control. You didn't have control over the power of those words. Once they were out, they were said, they were perceived by someone. That's it. You can't pull them back. And it's very hard to change the word once it's out there. I know what you meant. It's how often is it said. But here's the other problem. I know what my heart means. I know what I really said. Listen to what Jeremiah 17:9 says. The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it? I know my heart. Do you? Scripture says you might not. Just like I know what I meant. Maybe you didn't. Here's the problem with your heart. Or my heart, at least. My heart is like a piggy bank. And I try to put in God's word into it all the time. And I try to put it in so that I can pay it out again and again to as many people as possible. So I put God's word into my heart so that I can pay it out. It's a nice little piggy bank. It's got a little opening, and I keep throwing God's word into it. Now, here's the problem. My ears and my eyes are also depositing into this piggy bank. Everything they see, everything you hear, gets deposited into that piggy bank. So you open your piggy bank up, who knows what's going to fly out of that piggy bank? Is it only the good words that are going to fly out? This is why we need to be careful. This is why we need to have a gate on our heart and our eyes and our ears, because they allow things in. We don't even want them into our heart. But once our eyes and ears see them, there's no stopping it. It's been deposited into your heart, into your piggy bank, and it's there. It could be from before you were saved, before you came to know Messiah Yeshua, but it's already deposited. And who knows how hard it is to get something out of your heart once it's in there. Who knows how hard it is to unsee something you've already seen, hear something you've already heard. It's darn near impossible to unsee something. So we guard the gates of our hearts and our words of our mouth so that we may be acceptable to Adonai, just as it says in Psalm 119, about talking about Adonai's words. Psalm 19, starting in 12. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Cleanse me of hidden faults. Also keep your servant from willful sins. May they not have dominion over me. Then I will be blameless, free from great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, Adonai, my rock and my redeemer. This is our prayer over ourselves today. And this is our prayer for those who are accountable to us and those who we are accountable to, that our words and our prayers and our meditations would be acceptable to him. We want his words to be our words at all times. Whether we're typing them out, whether we're just reposting a picture, whether we're creating something, or just passing it along. We want his words to be our words. How can we be sure that his words are our words? When we proclaim his glory and proclaim his words, scripture, his thoughts, his love, his mercy. That's when we're his mouthpiece. That's when we are his hands and feet. That's when we're doing his work. Final scripture, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you using your words to pull other people out of their darkness into his marvelous light? I do most of the time. Good. Does that mean 40% of the time you don't? 10% of the time you don't? I know my heart attitude is that I don't want to at any time tear someone else down. And I know that at times I have to go to people and apologize because something got deposited into my heart and it's still me. It's not that I can, you know, separate myself from it. It's still me. I still have to apologize. I still have to go to a brother and a sister and say, I'm sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said that. I had no reason to say that. I had no purpose to say that. That is so wrong on my part. I am sorry. We need to speak his words of life, words to glorify him, words so that the world will know who he is, because I would much rather the world know who he is than the world would know who I am. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you that it's your words you've given us. Help us, Ruach HaKodesh, to give your words back out. Help us to separate the wheat from the tares so that when we're sowing seed, the seed is good. Help us to speak your words out of our hearts. Help us to weed out the words that are spoken that shouldn't be spoken before my mouth moves. Ruach HaKodesh, help us. I'm asking for every person here, Ruach, to help us to speak only your words, to glorify you and you alone. That when we do have a difference of opinion, we can express it without being hurtful. We can express it without being hateful. We can express it to edify someone and not tear them down because we disagree with them. Ruach, we know you gave us certain things, and sometimes it seems like the world gave it to us, like the internet, because there's so much good out there that we can now see more of your word to reach out to more and more of our brothers and sisters. But we also know that sometimes those who are hidden from sight use swords to touch others. They use the word as a sword to hurt others. So Ruach, help us to be a people who keep our sword sheathed when it's supposed to be, to only bring it out, to fight the fight you want us to fight. And when it's the right time to fight, help us to fight it the right way so that we're not speaking words that'll hurt, but speaking words that will edify the other person to come around to the way you think, not the way I think. Father, thank you for your words. Words that comfort, words that heal, words that create, words that build up. I ask that we as a congregation would use your words in the same way that you used your words to create right there from Genesis 1. Right until the end time, when it's to proclaim the slain lamb who's standing before the throne. May our tongues be worthy of proclaiming Yeshua, Messiah, to all. Amen. Amen.